separately, and you can put them in any crazy pose you want. Kiss, each 12.5-inch figure sold separately by Mego. You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636. From D.C. on WJFK 202-432-1067. And from New York City on WNEW 877-692-1027. They're ready to believe you.
All right, listen, this is your last weekend now to send in your entry for the Las Vegas-style show in your home on Super Bowl Saturday. We'll bring the whole show to your house, no matter where you live. We're going to read some entries today. Your last weekend to get your entry in, fax it to us, because we're going to pick the winner on Monday. Our fax number is 800-636-6410. Let me tell you, coming soon on the show, Monday, our friend Michael Weiss, the skating guy.
My wife has been skating with Michael Weiss when he's been practicing. She's been on the ice. He does singles. They don't do pairs, but he's been out there on the ice with him.
He's going to the Olympics, and he's coming on the show. I think he's coming Monday. Isn't that right? Rumpelstiltskin? Monday from Michael Weiss.
Very cool.
And the girl who teaches housewives how to dance like strippers. Also coming soon, porno football.
Yeah.
I know you're going to like that. And nude password.
Nude password.
Wow. That's another one we have coming very soon on the show.
Yeah.
So,
exciting.
Wow. So stay tuned. Always trying to come up with new innovations. And
make me miss Alan Ludden even more.
Right now we're working on our Valentine's Day show. We always try to do something unique and special on Valentine's Day.
Nudity.
And I think that
nudity.
This year.
Nudity.
This year we're going to go in a different direction.
Nudity.
No, not tonsils. Oh. Trust me. Have I ever let you down on Valentine's Day?
Nudity.
Have I ever let you down?
Nudity.
Do you remember the time we went to Intercourse, Pennsylvania, and we actually had
couples actually engaging in love?
Couples having intercourse on the radio.
Yes.
The time that we dipped ourselves in chocolate.
Yes.
The time that we had a nude wedding on the show.
Absolutely beautiful.
This year will be...
Nudity.
It will be good.
Nudity.
Just stick with me, okay?
Thank you. I'm just throwing in that...
It involves nudity.
I'm just throwing in that subliminal message.
It involves nudity, but I'll tell you this, it also involves a lack of love.
Oh.
We're going to ask for, I don't want to let everything go right now, but it involves couples who are getting divorced.
Oh, always interesting.
Wow. And nudity.
Ah.
That's part of our Valentine's Day special. So lots of stuff happening on the show. Oh, a Friday favorite right now. Let's get to this.
It's game time now.
Well, he's got a brand new television show, and we're always glad when the great James Garner joins us.
Potty talk, potty talk, potty talk. That's all you seem to do, son. I don't understand why you have to have all this disgusting potty talk on the radio. And I don't like magazines either.
Oh, you're talking about the last segment with the Playboy girl?
I don't believe in magazines, glossy magazines. You want to read something, read the Reader's Digest. It always worked for me, son. There's nothing wrong with that at all. How are you? Good to see you. It's the old pornographers of the radio. Hello, this is James Garner. I'm here to promote First Monday. I play a Supreme Court justice who's a little on the conservative side.
Yeah, now, how did you get roped into this? I mean, your career is absolutely down the toilet if you're doing a show for... It's on CBS, right?
I can explain it to you. There's no need for you to get all hot and bothered
our
about
network.
My career choices. Why are you doing that to me? Can I ask you a question? I've been at this a long time. I don't need a roadmap for my career from you, son. Do you understand what I'm saying to you?
Yeah.
I don't mind working. I still enjoy the work, the process, television, films, or anything like that. I enjoy the process. The job is the thing. It makes me happy to keep working. What makes me unhappy is when I try to make water.
Can I say something to you, sir?
Yeah, you go right ahead.
I'm going to quote a great man, a quote that was actually heard earlier this week.
It's all this talk about profiling, too. If you want to profile them, just go out and take a bullet.
Wow.
All right, shoot people in the back of the head if they look different. That's the way I figure. all this stuff. I believe in America. The United States of America is under attack, son. What we need to do is take people out and shoot them and make it all done.
Right.
All this profiling, schmofiling. Do you understand what I'm saying to you?
Yes. Jim?
God, I hate young people.
I will F you until you love me, faggot.
I heard that on the news. You're talking about that boxer fella.
Mike Tyson.
He's a boxer. He's paid to be a tough guy. Why are we picking on that poor guy? Let him in the ring and let him take his hostilities out. That's what I think we should do. Don't give him a press conference. Give him the ring. Have him take his shirt off and start pummeling the other guy. God, I hate young people.
But you totally ignored the fact that I said to you,
I understand
James
what you're
Gardner,
saying. What I made
I
a conscious effort to
you
now, just
until
hold
you
on
love
a
me.
Second there, please.
Faggots.
I've got to tell you something. I made a conscious effort to ignore your smut and potty mouth. What you like to do is make fun of the fact that I'm an old-time conservative fellow that gets offended by your language on the radio. So I've decided today you can talk all the blue that you want. I'm
really?
Just going to shake my head and look at you and
penis.
Say, now, there you go.
Vagina.
Now you're making me angry.
Testicles.
I'll tell you right now. I'm going to take this... Oh, you see this oversized belt buckle that I'm wearing right here with my Wrangler jeans and my button-down shirt? I'm going to take my belt off, I'm going to take my boots off, and I'm going to kick you all the way across the state line. Do you understand what I'm saying to you, son?
Uh-huh.
Do you understand?
Uh-huh.
You're trying to make me angry. I'm not going to let it work this time.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not going to let you get to me the way you always get to me, but you're just like every other young person.
Anal. Oral.
Yeah, he's looking at me with that little twinkle in his eyes. I'll tell you right now, you weren't breastfed, were you?
Wow. I don't know if I was.
Starting to really, really bother me. Now, when are we going to finish up here? I've got to eat my dinner. I don't eat any later than 5:30.
Oh, my God.
I got to get
Christ.
My blue plate specials. What, do you want me to eat? Why don't
it's
I eat the middle of the
20.
Night?
12:20. Why don't you have lunch?
I had my lunch at 12 noon, right before I got here.
What did you have?
I had what I always had. I had a steak. A nice little steak with a nice piece of Texas toast. It was delicious, and I had it, and I had a little mayonnaise on the side, and just a little extra lard.
Wow.
It clogs my arteries, but it tastes good, and that's the most important thing. And if I eat later than 5:30 in the afternoon, I'm going to start farting.
Hey, have you noticed? Let me ask you something. I know you mentioned you're conservative. Have you noticed that you're
look
on...
Look at all these cell phones. Who needs those things?
Jesus. You don't have one?
I don't have a cell phone schmell phone.
Really?
If I want to talk on the telephone, I'll go over to the wall and pull it out just like I always do.
You know, James, have you noticed that you're on the show, and I think this is the first time since we switched times.
Don, before we go any further, can I make a personal request to you?
Sure.
How about we don't talk about rubbers, scrotums, or feminine odor? Do you get that? Can you do that for me this one time? No feminine odor talk. Can we do that? You talked your anal, your oral. I understand that. I used to work in Hollywood. There was deviant sexual activity all over the place, and I was not an unhandsome man, if you know what I mean. Ladies would come up to me all the time and say, can I see your scrote?
Then tell me something. Then, all right, I promise I won't bring it up. If you tell me the celebrity that you had sex with back in the day of the Rockford Files who had the worst feminine odor.
It's a no-brainer.
Who is it?
Shelley Winters.
Wow. Why would you bang Shelley Winters?
Well, it was fun. It was there and it was available, and I was a young star, and I was going for some of the older starlets, and it worked out for me. She was lovely, but there was a problem.
A big problem with the odor.
I tell you, it was very, very difficult. Rita Moreno's a close second. Now, there, I've given it to you. Now you know. Now you know your details. Write it down in your little smut book. That'll be fine.
All right, now, let me ask you.
And no talk of labia, please.
Have you noticed?
I really appreciate that.
Have you noticed our show is on at a different time now?
I'm not really concerned about that. I've got a very rigorous schedule. I listen to you during the day. If I'm in the taxi cab and it's on, I'll listen to you.
Have you noticed that we're on in a time slot that used to be occupied by G. Gordon Liddy?
Son, can I tell you what I notice? Can I tell you what's important to me?
Because you're a conservative.
No, I'll tell you right now. What's important and what I notice is my regularity. I don't care about what's on the television or what's in the radio or what's on the theater. It doesn't matter to me right now. I'll tell you what I do. I wake up at 5:15 every single morning, and the only thing that concerns me is whether or not I have a proper BM. That's the most important thing to me, and also how long it's going to take for me to make my water. If it takes me more than 2.5 minutes, I know it's time to go see my urologist. Now, first Monday's going to be a show about the Supreme Court. I urge everybody to see it. It's going to be just like the West Wing.
The show's going to be on for 3 weeks. They're going to cancel.
Well, why don't you turn on your ESPN or your BSPN or whatever you want to watch and watch some more of those girls' sports like the LPGA or the WNBA. How about the Kitchen NBA?
Why
don't we go into the
girls
Kitchen
sports?
Girls? I don't like girls' sports. Why do they have to play sports and report on sports? That's man's work.
So you don't even like the girls, the women on ESPN? ESPN.
I like girls to do what girls were put on this earth for. Nurses,
right.
Stewardesses, that's what they're supposed to do. A couple of actresses, maybe occasionally they can go out and date boys. They can work in dance halls, but by and large, they should wait along dance halls. You heard me, son. That's the way it works. Dance halls are fine with me, but what I'd really like them to do is to stay home, marry a fella, give him a nice baby, and keep the meals hot.
Procreate.
Procreate's important right now. I'll tell you right there.
What would you say to, I don't know if you, when you were walking in the studio door here today, many of the executives at this radio station are women.
Mm.
As a matter of fact, Jim, if you look in the next room.
I'm experiencing a bit of discomfort.
Rummy, would you raise your hand for a second? Now, do you see that attractive woman in the next room?
Oh, there she is wearing pants. Why do women have to wear pants? Now, skirts and dresses are perfectly acceptable. When did those go out of fashion?
Now, isn't she a cute girl?
She's moderately attractive.
She's our producer.
Well, that's good. Tell her to put a skirt on. How about a business suit? Why can't she dress a little more ladylike?
She is our producer.
And what's this fella doing? He's wearing denim.
Yes.
In the office space. Where's his fedora hat?
It's radio.
It frustrates the hell out of me right now. We need less foreigners in America, too. And I do like all the boys with the short hair, though. That's a nice look. I enjoy it. She's no Mariette Hartley, though.
Who's that? You mean Lisa?
Yeah, that's for sure.
I thought you might be offended by the fact that not only a woman...
She's no Doris Day.
Not only a woman, but an attractive woman is in a position of power here.
Well, I tell you...
A radio show.
That's not it. I don't think that's necessary. You might say she's in a position of power, but she's really waiting for the right guy to settle down and have a baby with. And she ought to wear a dress.
She ought to wear a dress.
Every woman here ought to wear a dress, and all I see is pants and jeans and denim and long pants and the shoes and sneakers when they all ought to be wearing high heels and skirts.
Did you see Nadine out at the front desk out there?
I did indeed. Yeah, another girl wearing pants. It's disturbing to
beautiful
me. It really
woman
is. They're all beautiful
woman,
but they're all waiting for the same thing. A trip down the Garner Highway to stay in the kitchen and make a baby. Don't you understand what I'm saying, son? The world has gone backwards. Don't you understand me? The world is really slipping into oblivion, and it's right before your very eyes because you want to talk about anal, oral, and labia.
How come you?
What I'm concerned
used to
about,
be such a cool guy when you were on the Rockford Files.
I am a cool guy, but it's difficult to maintain a level of cool when you have no pressure when you tinkle.
Oh.
That's frustrating for me right now. I've got a prostate that's the size of the Titanic, and it's starting to bother me a little
bit.
I'm very concerned about that. Have you ever gone to the bathroom and experienced the agony of waiting 5.5 minutes for any water to come out?
Would you like us to get you
I have
a,
to put my leg in the bowl and let it run down. It's very, very difficult for that. It's true. And then I have to get a hose to wash me down.
Would you like us to get
I usually have to pee in the kitchen sink.
Would you like a
very, very, very tough.
We get you one of them Tupperware containers like Liddy used to have to use.
I understand that. I'm not going to do that. I have my dignity. What I do is I wait in the morning. That's why I get up at 5:15. I leave the house by 7, and usually somewhere in the interim, I'll be able to successfully make my water.
You know, when you are on this new, whatever this dumb CBS show is, you're going to play a judge, you're wearing a robe, right?
I wear a robe. It's a black robe,
so
like anybody would wear.
In a way, it's almost like you're wearing a dress.
Yeah.
Now, that's not appropriate, son. We're talking about the American judicial system, and you're going to make it into some sort of homosexual activity.
So you're wearing a dress.
You're just disgusting.
TV.
Why do you get so obsessed with sexual habits of people? Why are you talking about that?
Why are you wearing a robe on
I'm
TV?
Wearing a robe because I play a Supreme Court justice.
Nancy
you're
going to
make
boy
me angry. I'm going to kick your ass across the state line.
Nah,
now you've gotten my blood pressure all going, and that means I won't have any pressure when I take it. Man, this is really starting to get my goat. I don't mind talking to you, but I'll tell you right now, you're really annoying me, and I'm getting very angry. I was angry when I walked through your studio with all the piercings and tattoos.
Oh, you mean the people out there?
The only tattoo I want to see, son, is on a sailor's arm. There's no need for all these girls to have everything tattooed from up and down and down there. Down there where they tinkle. That's the most disgusting thing I think I've ever seen in my life. Why do you put your jewelry down there? I like clip-on earrings on the earlobes. That's the only jewelry these girls need. need nowadays.
Seems to me that CBS is constantly striving to get a younger audience.
I like CBS. I'm a big fan of CBS.
Yeah,
I think Walter Cronkite does a fine job with the news.
No surprise you're a fan of CBS. You're right.
I used to party with those guys. Walter Cronkite, Roger Mudd, used to have a very good time. And now you'll make some joke about Roger Mudd, won't you? You're going to talk about some fecal matter, and that's the way you work. I know. See, I'm one step ahead of you, son.
You said it. I didn't say it.
And I like that young boy, David Letterman. He's got his act together. He's from the Midwest, and he deserves an awful lot of credit. He's a good young man. A good boy.
Now, wait, you like...
Baby boy.
You like Letterman.
I do like David Letterman.
What do you like about Letterman that you don't like about us, for instance?
I like the fact that he comes out wearing a sensible double-breasted suit every single night. He keeps his hair short, and he talks about his mother in a nice way. He's a good boy. I wish you'd be more of a good boy, all your people. And I also like his hatred. He shares hatred like I do. You know, a few machine guns on the Mexican border would take care of that immigration problem, if you know what I mean.
I am with you there.
There you go. Okay. Build a big wall around the United States, and then we don't have to play ball with anybody.
How long have I said that? And you know what else I bet we agree on? When we had our last segment with the girl from Playboy.
Yeah?
I'm going to bring it up again.
Playboy, Schmayboy, there you go.
I'm going to bring up anal, and I'm going to ask you.
Of course you are.
That,
here you
no,
go.
No, Jim, listen. I bet you and I line up together on this.
The only magazine I read is Field & Stream.
Is that part of the body, the butt, is that an entrance or an exit?
Well, I know what that is. I tell you right now, I hope mine works every day when I wake up, but that's what you'd make poo-poo with. Right.
So is it an entrance or
an exit?
Okay, so you see?
For the love of God, now, occasionally I don't mind, though, if I'm with my special someone.
Oh.
If she wants to, have fun, I always tell her very specifically, you might want to make sure you go up to the third knuckle. Otherwise, I'm not getting any sensation whatsoever.
So you enjoy it?
Yeah, I'll tell you, Angel was wonderful.
Oh, no.
She'd always go up to the third knuckle.
No, Angel was a man.
Oh, that's
on the Rockford Files.
I'm sorry, I slipped again. I called him her.
That's what he liked.
That's right, Angel. Yeah, I didn't like it when he'd be working on the car before he'd come into the trailer.
No.
That'd be a little difficult, especially if he had a few of those little grease spots under his fingernails.
You know, the thing is, I gotta say,
I got a horrible infection one time. I had to go to the Malibu Emergency Clinic.
When the Rockford Files was on, man, it was the coolest show in the world.
Well, I appreciate that. Thank you for appreciating my work. Did you like Maverick?
What, the movie with Mel Gibson?
Yeah, did you like that? I was Mel Gibson's father. I thought I did a fine job in that, too.
Yeah, in a small
role. Did you like Space Cowboys? I was pretty good in that, too.
Sure.
Yeah, you like the fourth banana in that. You are right in that.
Did you like Murphy's Romance?
Oh, listen to this.
Sally Field's got a great set of cans.
You know that we made... Oh.
Did you like Tank?
Do you know that we made...
I was good in Tank, wasn't I?
Listen to this. We made a homemade porno with a guy we know named Dennis Murphy.
Can I say goodbye to my friend Jack Lemmon? Can I take that opportunity? He played the president with me. We were dueling presidents.
That's right.
Goodbye, Jackson. You'll be missed, my friend.
Let me just tell you that we made a porno. We made a homemade porno.
Of course you made a porno. That's how you live your life. You live your life in the smut industry.
You know what we named the porno?
What'd you name it?
Murphy's Romance.
Murphy's Romance. I'm proud of you. I'm glad you could take my body of work and turn it into something sordid.
Dennis Murphy.
Have you thought about going to your local Protestant church, son? Have you thought about throwing yourself down on your knees and going to a nice Episcopalian service? Have you thought about that?
I go to church every week.
Oh, well, now that's the most abysmal thing I've ever heard in my life. What do you mean you go to church every week and then you're talking about anal and oral?
I don't like anal. I like oral.
I'll tell you, take a nice stroll. Slow your life down and take a stroll in the park. Why don't you come out with me? We'll buy some fedora hats. We'll walk around and feed the pigeons together.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, here he is, James Gardner, wearing a robe.
Thank you very much. I'd like everybody to go see First Monday.
Some might refer to it as a dress.
Joe Montana's in that also. I never worked with an ethnic before.
On his new show, which I'm sure will be canceled days after its first airing on CBS.
I'd like all your girls to put on dresses while I'm here. Is that possible, please?
Not a chance.
Not a chance. Well, I didn't think so. Thank you.
Listen, if you want to play Low Budget Jeopardy, I see we have a champion.
I brought a copy of Support Your Local Sheriff. It's just for you.
We have a champion. We need a challenger at 877-365-3630.
36 are from D.C., 202-432-1067, and New York, 877-692-1027.
I brought you some barbarians at the gay cufflinks.
Now I loved you in that.
Thank you very much.
I loved you in that.
I was F. Ross Johnson.
And now I know what the F and F. Ross Johnson stands
for. Thank you very much. I appreciate that.
Love that. And that's a hot piece of ass you were married to in that movie.
You think somebody could get me some beef tips on a stick?
Sure.
Little teriyaki?
Sure.
I like that Japanese stuff.
Okay, we'll be back.
We beat them in the war, you know.
I know.
We did. Beat them good.
I know we did.
They'll never forget.
Yeah.
It's the way we ought to handle all those people.
Have you seen Mike's pictures?
Yeah, I saw Mike's pictures.
Of Japanese people?
Yeah, I did. I thought that was pretty good. I like those. I doodle like that also. Ever since the 40s. If you know what I mean.
We will, never forget.
Remember the Arizona.
Be right back. Need a caller. Coming right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
The greatest man in show business.
Hold on, time out. I got to take
this whole, is my kind of music.
I got to take the whole break over.
Why did you do that? Why did you take that music off, son?
That's the wrong music.
What are you doing?
Wait a minute. Let me reset the whole break.
Please play something pretty, not your rock and roll.
Hold on. Here we go. It was supposed to be like this.
That's why you, sir, are the greatest man in show business.
Thank you. You're playing your newfound rock and roll.
They broadcast wrong time here. Don Jer and Mike Jer.
Now, what's funny about that?
I don't know, dear. That's that's a joke you'll get. That's about a CM.
Well, I'll tell you, now you're talking. Like back in 1958 when I did Sayonara.
Oh, did someone go to the web and get your filmography?
Absolutely.
We got to play low budget Jeopardy now. James Garner, tell us who's playing the game with us.
This is low budget Jeopardy. Now entering the studio is one of your listeners, the guy that likes porn and smut. He's a mortgage banker from Herndon. Let's say hi to a good Irishman, Pat O'Brien.
Hello, Pat.
How you doing?
Hey, Pat. Thanks for listening.
Hey, Pat.
Yes, sir.
Get your mind right. You understand me?
Got it.
All righty. Can't you pick it up a little bit, son? You're on the radio.
I'll do what I can.
Well, that's just not good enough. You're going to have to pick up your enthusiasm level. Say hi, Mr. Geronimo.
Hi, Mr. Geronimo.
Hi, Mr. Garner.
Hi, Mr. Garner.
And I love America.
I love America.
Attaboy. Now entering the studio is our challenger. No, he's not. He's a champion. He's got
champion.
$41 to match him being 48 years old. He's an unemployed waiter from the Bronx. Let's say hi to Bill Robertson.
Hey, Bill.
Hi, LQ. Good day, Mr. Garner.
Hello there. Now, this is the kind of guy that's got his mind right.
Guys, listen, don't forget, answer the form of question. Live with my mom, wearing a clip-on tie. Super Mr. Guy, call me Alex unless we're playing the game. And then, of course, it's LQ, the Cruise Master. And I always call him, James Garner, wearing a dress, wearing a robe on his new show.
I'm wearing a robe because I play a Supreme Court justice. Come on now. What's wrong with you?
Here are your categories. I am Sam.
I wish it was 1959 and I was doing Up Periscope again.
I am Sam.
I am Sam. Very good. I like that. Thank you for that credit.
And God, that movie. It's too bad Charlie Stossel's not on today. That we're in New York and he's back at D.C. Because I am ready. I mean, I've seen all the ads.
Right.
This is a movie that will touch you. This is a movie. Come on.
Well, I suppose going to make fun of the less fortunate.
It's Sean Penn playing a retard.
Very good. Isn't that lovely?
How tough is that?
Well, aren't you a brave soul?
Don't take my daughter away from me.
I've had just about enough that I can stand. I'll tell you that right now. Where is that Nancy Boy Stossel today?
He's back in D.C. So you got, here's your categories. I'm sorry, I was going off on a tangent. I am Sam.
Yeah.
Name that NFL playoff starting quarterback.
Very good.
Golden Globe winners.
Oh, that'll be fun. Almost as much fun as when I had my knees replaced.
Name the celebrity bra size.
Now there, you had to work your sex into it, didn't you? You're a sex maniac.
And states and capitals.
Now, there's something educational and beneficial for all of your listeners.
Well, let's see, Pat, you are the challenger. We'll start with you, my friend.
We'll go with I am Sam. For one.
I am Sam.
Oh, dear. There you go. Pick on the less fortunate, son. It's always an easy mark.
It has nothing to do with this. Category has nothing to do with retards.
Well, very good. I don't like that word.
I am Sam.
Use the word challenge, or I'll slap you upside of your head.
Freaking tards. Hollywood star. He starred in Pulp Fiction and the remake of Shaft.
Oh. No clue.
Very nice, Pat. Bill, your chance to steal.
Who is Richard Roundtree?
No. No. Would, again, remember the category, boys. I am Sam. That would be Sam Jackson.
Samuel L. Jackson. Fine actor, good man. Pat, you're in control.
Wolf, I am Sam for two.
The greatest linebacker in the history of the NFL.
Who is Sam Huff?
$2. Right. Now, there's the kind of American you ought to have on your show more often.
Sam Huff?
I like Sam Huff. I like the way he sings. I like the way he thinks.
This is Sam Huff.
And I voted for him for Congress.
You'll make a good Congress.
All right, Pat, you're in control.
We'll go with I am Sam for three.
What was that, Pat?
I am Sam for three.
Thank you very much.
I was running out of Sams here. Famous old golfer.
Who is Sam Snead?
$3, another good American. Thank you for this category. I salute you. Sam Snead, I love his hat.
I am Sam.
Ah, there you
Where
go.
Where is my daughter?
Why don't you behave yourself?
Don't take her away from me.
I'm about to kick your ass across the state line.
Kiki Sharpay, give me an Oscar because I'm pretending you be retarded.
You got a lot of issues, son. You ought to pencil that up and put it in a bottle. Pencil.
Pencil?
Pencil.
Pencil. Anal. Anal. Me like anal.
Yeah, it's always anal with you. Yeah. I tell you something. I bet your fingers do the walking when you're down there cleaning yourself.
Oh, they do not.
Yes, they do.
They do not.
Beware.
Who's in charge here?
Pat O'Brien, the talkative one.
We'll go with NFL quarterbacks for one.
Let me just say that this Pat O'Brien, he certainly is much better when he's on Access Hollywood.
Yeah, I like him. I tell you, he doesn't sound the same, does he?
All right, NFL quarterbacks for one. He will start this weekend for the St. Louis Rams.
Who is Kurt Warner?
$1 for you, Pat. You're blazing a trail right now. Keep going, son.
We'll go with NFL quarterbacks for two.
Start for the Pittsburgh Steelers.
Who is Cordell Stewart?
$2 for Pat. He's really kicking a little boot.
And we'll go with NFL quarterbacks for three.
Well, come on, Sam. The retard could get these.
All right. There you go.
He will start for the New England Patriots.
Who is Tom Brady?
There you go. You ran a category.
$3, you ran the category, Pat. You're still blazing the trail. Select again.
Go with States and Capitals for one.
States and Capitals. It is the capital of the great state of Maryland.
What is Baltimore?
No, no, no. For God's sakes, you live in the region. Bill, your chance to steal.
What is Annapolis?
Annapolis. Right.
$1 for you, Bill. You're in control.
States and Capitals for two, please.
Capital of the great state of New Jersey.
What is Trenton?
$2 for Bill. He's coming back strong. Select again, Billy Boy.
States capitals for three, please.
It is the capital of the great state of Montana.
What is...
Pat, your chance to steal.
What is Helena?
Helena, yeah, we'll give it to you. Yeah, correct, right.
I didn't know that was no longer a territory.
What do you mean?
Montana.
Yes, one of the...
Did we get that from the engines?
One of the 48 contiguous United States.
Well, hats off to the U.S. of A. That's fantastic. I'll have to congratulate Mr. Grant. All right, Pat. You're in control.
We'll go with celeb bra size for one.
All right. Here we go. Bra size is schmaw size.
Tell you the name of a celebrity, you tell me her bra size, okay? For one, Halle Berry.
Say 34B.
That was not in the form of a question.
Make Bill your chance to steal.
Halle Berry, what is 34C?
No, he had it right. It's a 34B.
Same size as Joe Montaigne. All right, Pat, you're in control.
I'm going with bra size for two.
Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
What is 34C?
No.
Bill, your chance to steal again.
What is 36C?
36C. No. Have you ever seen Seinfeld, son?
She is also a 34B.
I thought those were mosquito bites. Thought that was training bra territory. Pat, you're in control.
We'll try the last one for three.
Nicole Kidman.
This is 34C.
Bill, your chance to steal.
All right, what is 34B?
See, all three of them, they all got the same. They're
34B.
All three answers were 34B.
B for bodacious tatas.
Now, who's the potty mouth now?
I'm sorry, I was having a flashback. You know, we used to get a little ribald on the old set of Rockford. You understand that, don't you?
Sure, I do.
I was a popular guy. Good heterosexual. Now things don't work down there.
Sorry about that.
I'm getting an implant, though.
Can you get the pump?
Yeah. Yeah, damn. Yeah, I got it right down there. I'm going to keep it right under my epidermis right here. Just a little push thing like those Reebok sneakers.
Okay, let's go with all we got left is Golden Globe winners, right?
No more states and capitals?
No.
How about another category with presidents?
No, we have,
how about Millard Fillmore?
We have Golden Globe winners. Who's in control here, Jimbo?
Big Bill. Big Bill's trying to mount a comeback at the last tier. Here we go, Bill. Try to come on strong.
All right, Bill.
Yep.
This won the Golden Globe for Best TV Comedy Series.
Youngster.
What is Sex in the City?
Sex in the City. That is correct.
$1 for you. There you go, Bill. Way to go.
Two, please.
Two, please. He won Best Actor in a Movie Drama.
Who is Russell Crowe?
Right, Russell Crowe.
$2. He's mounting a heck of a comeback. Bill, I'm very proud of you.
Thank you, Mr. Garner.
And, you're welcome. Here you go. Final question on the big board. She won for Best Actress in a Movie Drama.
Who is Sissy Spacek for In the Bedroom?
Yeah, there you
go. $3.
Wow. What a brainiac. He almost made it a horse race there. Way to go, Bill.
There you go. Okay, so now we're ready for final low-budget Jeopardy.
Boy, I tell you, it's a fine game. I love it when this spirit of American competition gets my blood going.
Jimbo, with your penile implant, what is the score?
Well, Pat O'Brien finishes with $14, and we got old Bill over here. Bill finishes with $12.
All right, guys, anything can happen. We physically force you both to
Tippy Canoe
all.
And Tyler, too.
Good luck, and here is your category. How old is that nutcase? That is the category.
Thank you very much.
How old is that nutcase? And here's the answer. Don't forget, we need it in the form of a question. The current age of pop superstar / Looney Tune Mariah Carey. That one face bitch. The current age of pop superstar / Looney Tune Mariah Carey. Don't forget, we need it in the form of a question, guys, and good luck.
All contestants on Low Budget Jeopardy will receive My America by James Garner. It's a book about patriotism, capitalism, and anti-communism. And it'll show you how to root out undesirables in your neighborhood. My America shows you how to clean up your block from immigrant hunts to record burns. To making the unwanted uncomfortable on your street. My America will make your street as clean as a freshly polished pocket watch. That's right, My America, it's James Garner's America. Now back to Final Low Budget Jeopardy with Alex.
Thank you, Jimbo.
You're welcome.
Time now on
Tuesday
with cash for you and me.
Done
for Dunn, Mike, and play Low Budget Jeopardy.
I know that wherever gets the time thing, but what do you think about James Walker?
James Walker, I'll tell you right now, I'd like to take him out and scalp him like an engine.
I think they did. Didn't they cut off all of his hair?
Not enough for me, as far as I'm concerned. What you want to do with John Walker is you want to cut all the hair off. I'm talking about going down beneath the scalp line. Mm-hmm. A little souvenir. I'll put it on my rearview mirror.
Like what they did to Ray Liotta in the Hannibal movie.
That'd be fine with me, son. I tell you, like, I get it. I get my pocket watch, my Swiss Army, and I peel back his scalp.
Okay, who do I want to go to first here?
You want to go to Bill, our returning champion, low man on the totem pole.
All right, Bill, the current age of pop superstar and nutcase Moran. Carry.
What is 26?
Negative.
I'm sorry, Bill, that knocks you down to zero.
Pat, you're the winner if you have the right answer.
What is 31?
That is correct.
And that means that Pat O'Brien, the soft-spoken boy from Herndon, Virginia, you're our low-budget champion. And what do you have to say about that?
I'm ecstatic.
Ecstatic, that's a good word, son. Way to pull out the big nickel words.
There you go. Mariah Carey, 31. That's her age. Oh, Bill, you were a good champ.
Who the hell is she?
She's the singer who went to the loony bin. Nice, big jugs.
That like the late Rosemary Clooney?
Rosemary Clooney's not dead yet.
Oh, she's not. Is she still making records?
No, but she's not dead
yet. How about
yet?
Sarah Vaughan?
Have you ever heard of George Clooney?
George Clooney, he's an actor. Yeah, he's a young man. Yeah.
Right,
I've heard of him. He's done the work on ER, that television
show. He somehow is related to Rosemary Clooney.
I watched that one about him in the boat.
Oh, The Perfect Storm.
Absolutely, Clooney. But I don't know this singer you're talking about.
Mariah Carey.
Carey?
Mariah Carey.
Carey.
Yeah.
Grant?
No. Listen, Bill, parting is such sweet sorrow. Don't go away, Matt. Just go away. You get to keep your money and the gifts that James Garner has for you. And, Pat, you get money. Here now is James Garner, American.
Well, Bill, you can keep your $48 and listen to these fantastic prizes we've assembled for you. Are you ready?
Yes, sir. Go ahead.
You have won a Jackson Hewitt text. Jackson Hewitt will work hard to get you exactly what you want. every dollar you deserve. Call 800-234-1040 today for the Jackson Hewitt in your neighborhood. But wait,
there's more.
You've won a contact prize pack. Don't let a cold get you down. Be prepared by contact. Use as directed. But wait,
there's more.
You want a DVD copy of Do You Believe in Miracles? Now on DVD and VHS from the award-winning team at HBO Sports comes Do You Believe in Miracles? The story of last year's 1980 U.S. hockey team, now available at your local video retailer. They did a great job last year.
Thank you.
Thanks a lot, boys, and thanks for playing the game.
Thanks, LQ. Thank you, Mr. Garner.
Thank you, guys. Have a great weekend.
I loved the Winter Olympics last year.
1980 was 21 years ago.
Oh, that's right. And I'm not a Supreme Court justice either.
Well, what can I say, James? It's always time to make water. Always great to have you on the show.
Stick my leg in the bowl again.
And always remember and never forget that Low Budget Jeopardy is a production of
Boron Incorporated and is distributed by King World. Thank you, Donnie. I appreciate you having me by.
Thank you, Jim. Oh, look at that guitar solo.
Thank you. I did that myself. I'm sending you an oversized belt buckle.
Okay, thank you, James.
Attaboy. Where are my leopard skin boots?
Hold on a second. Where's the door? There it is. Goodbye.
Goodbye.
I couldn't find the door.
He was very confused there for a moment. He didn't quite know what to do.
Couldn't find the door. We will be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
God damn it, Eddie, it's not the knee. Hey, it's my shoulder. I hit my shoulder when I hit the gym floor.
It feels like it's full of gravel.
Well, it's always felt like it was full of gravel. Now, come on, give me a B12 shot. That's what I want. Why is messing with my knee?
Hey, how you doing, baby?
All right, Dell, you gonna get a shot?
Oh, no shots for me, Turkey. I can't stand needles.
Hey, you're the master of the technology of this game.
Yeah, how do you do that, man? Take all the soup pills and shots, man. It does terrible things to your body.
God. You last long enough, you'll realize the only way to survive is the pills and the shots.
Not me, Turkey. I got respect for my body.
You'll get past that.
Stay tuned for more love. The Don and Mike Show.
All right. Joining us now is, we're in the pick the pros until they scab and bleed. And here he is, as we've said for years on the show, not an albino.
No!
Boomer Esiason. Hi, Boomer.
Oh, boy. Nice introduction, guys. Appreciate it. Should I hang up now or what? Hold on. Right.
Yeah, you remember years and years ago, we used to goof on you. You see, Boomer... And Boomer has a history with us back when he played for the University of Maryland.
Yes, way back when he was rooming with, now noted local TV sports dude, Jess Atkinson.
Jess was one of my roommates, yeah.
Jess is hanging by a thread at Channel 9.
Sounds like you're really enthusiastic about that time.
No, I actually love Jess. I roomed with not only Jess, but Alan Sadler from Camp Springs.
Right.
And Frank Reich.
Oh, there you go. That's right. Frank Reich and you were
roommates. Yeah, that's right. The four of us were in Harford Hall over there at the University of Maryland.
Mm-hmm. And I remember, Rob Spiewak doesn't know a lot about football. It's not that he didn't like it, but I know that when Frank Reich played for the Bills, you loved it when he was a third-string quarterback because you could always say he was the third right.
Unbelievable.
Well.
Amazing the things that get him excited.
That is Rob.
Are we actually on the air now, guys?
Yeah.
Well, you guys are good.
I guess, Boomer, the last time I saw you was when you came up for the Redskins pregame show.
Yes.
When you were doing the radio, and you still are doing the... you do so much stuff now. Are you doing the radio now, or are you doing that Fox show on Sunday morning?
Both actually, and
do them both.
I call the games on radio for CBS Westwood One. So I'll be in St. Louis this week for the Rams and Eagles. But I also do the Monday night radio game. So that's where you saw me. I think you saw me either in Dallas or in Green Bay. I don't know which one of those great games that the Redskins played that we tried to analyze.
Yeah, anyway, Boomer has always been a good friend of the show and a good guy. And everybody knows about all the stuff that Boomer's gone through in his personal life with his son. And
right.
You really, you were good right after 9/11 when you were on the Fox show. Right after that, I want to make sure I gave you some love there for that.
Well, thanks.
Okay, so let's get to the games this weekend.
Boy, big game. Probably the biggest game this weekend is the St. Louis-Philly game, right?
Well, I mean, I don't know if it's they're both huge. There's no question about that. But I think that, with the way that Donovan McNabb has been playing the last 2.5 weeks, since the fourth quarter, the last game of the season against the Giants, he has just been absolutely magnificent. And, you know, he'll be a more formidable opponent than Brett Favre was last week, just simply because of his ability to move around and to make plays. And it seems like he's playing a game, and I always equate this to the way you think about a game when you get to it. He's playing the game much slower than everybody else, meaning that he's seeing things, he's operating in such a confidence level right now that it's he becomes the most dynamic player in football and the most difficult to defend against.
They used to talk about that in hockey with Wayne Gretzky, that he was able to, what made him great was his ability to slow the game down around him, where he would actually see things before anybody else would see. Is it the same kind of thing with Donovan McNabb?
Yeah, it is. And the thing about him is that he is actually was very inconsistent through the middle of the season, and Philadelphia fans were wondering, you know, where's this great player that we're supposed to have? And something happened in the fourth quarter against the Giants, their last game, and he rallied them back, brought them back to a win. He hit Chad Lewis for a touchdown pass to win the game, and this was the Donovan McNabb that everybody was hoping for in Philadelphia. Now, against Tampa, certainly their defense had a lot to do with it, but last week against the Chicago Bears, he was just absolutely magnificent, and it was very difficult, even for players like the Bears have on defense, to stay with him.
Are you superstitious?
A little bit. When I played, I was. I mean, I had to always make sure that I had the same routine every game day, whether it be what I ate in the morning and the way I would put my uniform on, the things that I would wear on my, underneath the uniform, the type of cold weather clothing or something like that. Yeah, I was pretty
surprised. Hey, I ain't so nuts. Because I'm positive I'm a Packers fan. The reason that they lost was that I had on the wrong outfit on Sunday. I mean, really, I wore a jersey that I've never worn for a game before, and they got crushed.
Well, they got crushed because Brett Favre played awful.
Yeah, no.
Their defense actually played pretty good, didn't you think?
Yes, and, the Packers, I believe, had more total yards on offense than the Rams did.
Well, the Rams never had the ball because the defense for the Rams was scoring touchdowns.
Now, what's the last time that you played a game that you can think you played as tard-like as Brett Favre did, where he would go back and he'd feel the pressure and he would just throw that baby up for grabs?
I just felt like Brett was throwing caution to the wind in this game, and he probably went in the mindset saying, you know what, I got to score 35, 40 points to win this game. There's no way that we're going to be able to stay with him. And really, it came back to bite him in the butt because he threw too many interceptions. The last game that I played like that,
yeah,
I threw 5 interceptions against New England back in 1988. Actually, oddly enough, it was our Super Bowl year, and we were 7-0 at the time, and I threw 5 interceptions in a game. So I know what it's like. I mean, it's just absolutely awful. And he's meant so much to that franchise, and I think he put way too much pressure on himself to try to have the best game of his career. And when you do that, usually what happens is the opposite.
And the New England thing, I mean, it's been talked to death, and we've argued about it. I know people are sick of hearing about it, and I know that they called it as the rule should be called.
They called it properly, no?
But listen, Mike, it was a freaking fumble. Boomer, when you get past all the stuff about how the rule is written and how they called it,
well, that's what the whole thing is. How can you ask a question like that when you get by what the rule is?
How do you define tucking the ball? I think as soon as he pats the ball with his left hand, he's no longer passing.
Are you talking to me, your guests, or are you talking to each other?
I mean, we're talking to each other, but I guess we're asking you.
I think you know where we line up.
I know. Couple things here that I would say about it. Number one, first of all, the reason that you have instant replay is those things like this don't happen. And it was because of instant replay that the wrong team won the game. The other fact is if it were outside of 2 minutes, would there be a coach in the league that would have called for a replay?
Yes.
The only reason that thing was, I believe, the only reason that was called for a replay is because it was under 2 minutes and somebody in the booth.
Thank you.
And the other fact is that, as Mike Priera said, who is the director of officiating for the NFL, the rule is there. The rule is clear in what it states. The interpretation of the rule was correct, but I think replay is what, it kind of backfired on everybody because replay is there to make sure the right team wins when, in fact, replay here in this instance made sure the wrong team won.
Thank you.
Even though the rule is clear and the rule is right and interpreted right, I think the rule stinks.
Thank you.
Okay, well, that's I'll buy that. That the rule, but
that
I mean,
is the queer duality, Mike.
Yes, I know.
The NFL.
The thing is, though, I think you're right about the rule, perhaps, but you agree that the rule was interpreted correctly.
Yes. I do. But I say this, that I equate it to the fact that replay screwed this thing up. Supposedly, replay is in the game, so things like this don't happen and the wrong team wins the game.
You know, let me ask you about this.
And
I'm really watching.
Michael, let me just thank Boomer again as many times as you can possibly say.
All right.
The wrong team won the
thank
game.
Thank you. Fine. All right.
Thank you.
But don't you think, in general, I mean, it seems more so every year, we are dealing with a game that is over officiated.
Well, it's getting crazy,
Boomer.
It is crazy, but I have to tell you, it's the most difficult game to officiate. Clearly, the game with the most rules, the most, you know, the one thing that rule did do, it basically took, you know, the referee out of the mix. The referee doesn't interpret whether or not Tom Brady is trying to throw the ball. It's almost, I equate it to like a federally mandated law. When you're sitting before a judge, or one of these people are sitting before a judge, and the judge says, you know, the only thing that I can do here is give you the maximum penalty because I'm not allowed any leeway. And I would equate that type of situation with what the situation was facing Walt Coleman, who was the official of that game, meaning that, you know, there is no gray area, there's no room for interpretation as to what the intent of the player on the field is trying to get done. So there are a lot of different situations here that arise in NFL games on a weekly basis, and I think that's what makes the game so great, is that each and every week there's a new set of situations to deal with.
And as you said, the wrong team won.
God.
Here's something before we actually talk about the games we make our picks. I don't know when Chris Berman started calling himself Boomer.
I have no idea.
Okay. And I've always wanted to ask you,
I think it's
this.
Cheating by him calling him himself Boomer.
Because Boomer Esiason, I didn't know you before you went to the University of Maryland.
Who did
Mike
Chris
and I,
Berman play for?
When Mike and I did our morning show. But I know that even back then, when you played for the Terps, you were always Boomer Esiason.
Well, I was Boomer before I was born. I used to kick a lot in my mother's tummy, and when my father played at Columbia, the punter there, his nickname was Boomer.
There you go.
All right, well, then, are you pissed when you see, in any way, are you pissed when you see them on that ESPN show and they go, what do you think, Boomer?
I don't, not at all.
I would be pissed.
No, I'm not worried about it. Chris's a good friend of mine. I don't know why, I still to this day don't know why they call him that.
Well, I think what we ought to do is, I mean, we've had Chris Berman on this show many times, and he's a very nice guy. We love having him on the show. But I would think of a name like Lumpy might be more appropriate.
Party.
Well, that's between you and him. I have nothing to do with that.
All right, well, you know, you're always the number one Boomer. You know,
okay, I appreciate that.
And he's the wannabe Boomer. Okay, let's pick the two games this weekend. I don't even think you have to really pick, do you?
Well, I like I like both home teams, but if I were a betting man and I had the spread, I think I'd take the Patriots.
But who's going to win outright?
The both home teams, I think.
Pittsburgh and St. Louis.
Right, that's what I think. But you know, there's...
Well, what is the spread? How many points are the?
I just got done taping something here in New York, so I know it's. I think it's 9.5 for the Patriots.
9.5. I might have to take the Steelers in 9.5.
No,
but we're picking games here. We're not in a betting parlay.
I'm saying if I was betting, I would take the Steelers in 9.5.
You would take it and 9.5.
Yeah, I think so.
The thing. I don't know. The situation in Pittsburgh is a little bit different because even though Bill Belichick has never won in Pittsburgh, I think he's 0-7 in Pittsburgh as a head coach.
Wow, I didn't know that. That's incredible.
The fact is, though, if there's a guy in football that can devise a defense, at least to kind of confuse a quarterback, it would be Bill Belichick against Cordell Stewart. And I don't think Cordell has – I think he's gotten worse as where Donovan McNabb has gotten better. Cordell, the last few weeks, and I go back into the season where he threw 4 interceptions, I believe, against Cincinnati, 2 against Cleveland, and then threw a real horrible one last week against Baltimore, and then his defense saved him. I don't know necessarily that, you know, that they're going to put up a lot of points.
But you know, conversely, he did have the great game against the Ravens.
He did.
The game of his life.
I still say that he played his best season ever, don't get me wrong. I think that was the pinnacle of the season for him.
It's going to be tough to overcome the team of destiny, the New England Patriots.
Oh, will you shut up with that? I'll take listen, here are your guaranteed picks. It's the Rams and it's the Steelers.
It's the Rams and it's the Patriots.
Well, they, you know, that's why we do what we do, because there's differences of opinions everywhere.
I hope it snows again.
Mike, the game's not even in Boston. It's in Pittsburgh.
I know. Well, yeah, like, they don't get snow in Pittsburgh.
It's not going to snow this week. It's going to be like 50 this weekend.
All right. Okay, so
all
you
right.
say.
All right. Hold on. Hey, Boomer, hold on. Someone says he knows when Chris Berman first started using Boomer. Hold on. Let's see here. David. Hey, Dave.
How you doing?
Hi. Listen, Boomer Esiason's on the phone.
I've been listening to you.
When did Chris Berman first start that?
Well, on September 7th, 1979, ESPN went on the air. I was working there that day. Chris was there either that day or within a week after that, as I recall. And he was known as Boomer then. And when he was making his NFL picks, he would go by Swami. So nickname goes back a while.
But you offer
him. Dave, just so you know, I don't have a problem with the nickname. It's Don and Mike that have the problem.
No.
We have a huge problem with it.
Gigantic I'm not defending problem. Him. I'm just calling in for clarification and information. It was a long time ago, and Chris was a lot thinner then.
But we have a giant problem with it.
Thanks.
Yeah, I mean, but let's make it clear. Boomer Esiason has no problem with Chris Berman.
We have the problem.
No, I know.
It's Al Michaels that he's got the problem.
All right, well, you know, if you want to talk about that, we can discuss that. But definitely, you don't have enough time in your day.
Not enough time. All right, hey.
All right, guys, take care.
See you later, Dave. And Boomer, always great talking to you.
Oh, thank you very much, Don. I appreciate it.
Thank you for the picks, and always a good friend over the years. You know. Number 7 in your program and number 1 in your heart.
Call us anytime, Boomer.
Okay, boys. Have a great weekend.
All right, we will. Thanks.
Bye-bye.
There he is.
I always love talking to him. He's funny. He's a guy that...
Norman Esiason.
He is a great analyst. He really does. Got a lot of insights on the game, but he every now and then you get him on the right subject, he'll get going.
He used to be good again. You know, today I hate to keep going down memory road back when we did the morning show.
Right.
But when we did the morning show, that's when, when Boomer was playing in the college area.
He used to listen to us.
Yeah, he used to listen to us. And it was funny. The first time we met Boomer, we were ecstatic to meet him. Like, what? You're Boomer Esiason.
And he told us he'd listened to us many, many times.
Wow. Said, well, you're Don and Mike.
Very, very cool.
And I was like, and then we pulled down our pants. And
and then he looked at us and he said, toodaloo, ass.
Yeah.
And hold on. You know what? We got another. I think we got a guy here who's got a third Boomer. Hey, Mike.
How you doing? Hey, I'm the guy who made the One Flew Over the Cuckoo's Nest reference.
That was a great one.
I'm sorry I was slow on the trigger on that one yesterday. It was at my expense. Thank you,
Listen,
sir.
Listen, hold on. This guy, he's got another Boomer. Give it to us.
Okay, what about Big Chubsy Wubsy, David Wells?
David Wells is Boomer as well.
Yeah, that's right.
And that's relatively new, too.
Yeah, no, you're right. Okay, good call, Mike. Thank you.
All right, buddy.
And don't forget the Benji ripoff, Here's Boomer. That was a show about a dog named Boomer. So there's a show in the 1970s called Here's Boomer.
Just stay out of sports, Rob.
I wasn't in sports. I was on NBC.
Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, guys, what's up?
Jesus. You know, we get on a really good roll. Every once in a while, that giant brain of his just...
I can't help it. I don't control it.
He cannot turn it off. Hello, Don and Mike show.
Hey, guys, how you doing?
Hi, we're doing great.
Good. I got a quiz that I thought you might enjoy called Porn Star or My Little Pony.
Oh, wow. All right, what are these names of porn stars?
These are 10 names, and you just have to tell me whether or not you think they're a porn star or a My Little Pony.
Beautiful. Let's play.
If I can stump you, can I win a prize or something?
Well, keep in mind, our prizes suck.
Now, are these characters in My Little Pony or porn stars?
One or the other.
Okay.
All right, yeah, sure, go.
Okay. Cherry Treats.
How about we go back and forth, Mike?
Okay, I'm going to say, My Little Pony.
Okay, Don?
No, Mike makes the pick.
We're going to rotate. We're going to go back and forth.
I got you. It is a white and red strawberry pony from My Little Pony. Mike is correct.
Excellent. All right, very good. I'm glad.
Give me the next one.
Well done. Okay, Lucky Star.
My Little Pony.
He appeared in Pure Milk number 2.
Oh, dear.
Corn Star.
Oh! Okay, all right. Sorry, I screwed the pooch there. Mike's turn.
Love Melody.
Corn Star.
Pony.
Oh, man. All right, now we're down one. Okay, my turn.
Daisy Sweet.
It's got to be a porn star.
A Little Pony That Smells Like Perfume.
Oh,
my God.
Now we're down 3-1.
Wow.
Mike.
Sunshine Blue.
Porn star has to be.
Star started with about a half a dozen women in fresh flesh.
All right, good. Good. Three for you and two for us. Here we go. Give me the next one.
Honey Rose.
That's got to be a porn star.
She was in Lethal Squirt.
Yay! Are we tied now?
Three and three.
Mike.
Ruby Lips.
Pony.
Correct.
Yeah.
Wow. Well, I would have never guessed that they'd give up My Little Pony a name Ruby Lips.
Thought it was a trick question.
So we are up 4-3.
You are. And I actually lied. There's 12. Is that cool?
Yeah, that's fine.
Okay. Misty Rain.
Pony.
Starred in Strap-On Sally, Foot Fetish Fantasies 2, and Tracy at the Sex Derby.
I have heard of Misty Rain, the porn star, before.
All right. 4-4.
Green Eyes.
Pony.
He was in Hispanic Heatwave. Porn star.
Wow. All right, 5 for you, 4 for us. Give it to me.
Heartthrob.
Pony.
A So Soft Pegasus Pony, you are correct.
Yeah, wow. I thought so.
5 up.
Pegasus. All right, Mike, good luck.
This could win it for us, Mike.
Chocolate Delight.
Come on.
Pony.
A soda sipping pony.
There you go. Oh.
6-5, so now I got to win this one to win.
Right, or we tie.
Or we tie. Okay.
Last one. Sweetie Pie.
That's the toughest of all.
Sweetie Pie.
Throw the coin in the air.
Porno.
Breast Man's American Butt Search. You are correct.
Don and Mike win. We did a good job.
Yeah. Thank you, my friend.
Thanks a lot. That was fun.
See you later.
Goodbye. Bye-bye.
See you later. That is a good game. Well, how come you can't come up with good bits like that? The whole time that the guy was giving us that great bit, that just a guy phoning in, Rob was on the internet looking up the TV show called Here's Boomer.
Jesus Christ.
Plot outline.
He won't let it go.
Plot outline. The adventures of Boomer, a shy dog who travels the country helping those in trouble. It was on NBC from 1980 to 1982.
I think Sunday nights at 7:30, but I guess.
Yeah, but who's counting?
Yeah. Here's Boomer.
That's all right. Don't worry about the show. Don't worry about your goddamn TV trivia. Listen, we'll get to some of the entries for the Las Vegas Style Show contest.
All right.
I don't think we've even, you know, my God, we've not even started rating women yet.
No.
And we'll take more. We've not taken any phone calls today. Your phone calls. All of that real hodgepodge coming up. We'll be right back.
This is the Don and Mike Show.
From what I've seen of their records, the only thing they do contribute is mayhem and chaos.
No, I'm chaos and he's mayhem. We're a double act.
You can call Don and Mike anytime from anywhere in America. 877-365-3636 from D.C. on WJFK.